And I don't know about you, but last Easter, I certainly missed gathering together, didn't you? It's not quite the same sitting in your living room watching something on the screen. Good Friday often feels like this heavy day, doesn't it? But there's something significant in us gathering and reflecting and worshipping and doing it together. And I'm so glad that you've joined us this morning to be part of Good Friday. You know, my favourite phrase on this board behind me is this one over here. It's the one that Jane pointed out last week, the one that she said that she painted, and it says, "The light of the world." And I don't know if I've just been reflecting on this message or looking at this board, but it has reminded me over the last couple of days of the words of a worship song that says, "Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness." See, Jesus knew what this darkness was going to involve. He knew that it was going to lead to an excruciating death on the cross. And yet, the darkness was not the end. John 1 verse 5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." See, the next line of the song that I've been reflecting over the past couple of weeks says, "Open my eyes, let me see." The light of the world overcame the darkness. The light of the world leaves the darkness behind. And on Good Friday, we not only see the courage of Jesus as he moves towards death on a cross, but we also see the courage of one of his followers stepping out of the shadow of secrecy and into the light of association with Jesus. And this secret follower's name was Joseph of Arimathea. We heard some of Joseph's story shared so beautifully by Luke just before, a glimpse of who he was and his reflection leading up to this moment. John's gospel tells us why Joseph followed Jesus in secrecy up until the day when the horrible things happened to him, causing his death. John 19:38 says, "Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders." See, the Jewish people, especially the religious leaders of the time, brought great fear into the life of people such as Joseph and the other Jews of the day. He himself was even considered a Jewish leader, and yet he hid in secrecy, in fear of being found out. All four Gospels that we read around the death and burial of Jesus, they mention Joseph in some way. They give us a glimpse of the man that he was. Matthew's gospel tells us that Joseph was rich. Matthew 27:57 says, "As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph." Mark tells us that he was a prominent member of the Sanhedrin. Mark 15:43 says, "Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council." He was important. Luke tells us that Joseph was a good and righteous man who could make his own decisions as he looked towards the kingdom of God. And in Luke 23:50-51, we read that there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. But what Matthew's gospel states, the first verse that we read, he shares another important point about Joseph. In verse 57, it finishes by saying, "who had himself become a disciple of Jesus." So Joseph, over time, after seeing Jesus and following him, not out in the open, had become a disciple. So this fear of the Jews, the fear was brought out because of the association with Jesus, and he kept it hidden. See, Joseph would have witnessed firsthand how the Jewish leaders treated people that didn't agree with them or that stood in opposition to their teaching. In multiple places in John's gospel, we read about this very real fear of the Jews, and it silenced many of the people who wanted to align themselves with Jesus' teaching. Time after time, people held their tongue or they hid away in silence, not able to tell of what Jesus had done for them. And this was a legitimate fear for these people because they were known, these religious leaders, to respond by putting people out of the synagogue. And that might not seem like such a big deal to us, but to be put out of the synagogue was to be ostracized from the heart of Jewish life. It was the ultimate disconnection from society. And to be banished like this, the thought of being thrown out of the synagogue, it created this fear within the people because they had to belong. They had to be together with their Jewish friends and family and neighbours. To not be part of the whole community surfaced this anxiety and this fear. So this was the reason that Joseph of Arimathea was a secret disciple. That was why he feared the Jews. It's why he lived in hiding of who he truly was, because that's what fear does to us. Fear causes people to run and hide in the shadows of secrecy. This has been the case, hasn't it, since the very first human beings. They committed a sin, they disobeyed God. They ate the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. They realized that they were naked and they went and clothed themselves. And then what did they do? They hid. Genesis 3:8 says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Why did they hide from God? They hid because their fear of being found out overwhelmed them. It caused them to slide back into the shadows of secrecy. But notice how God then goes and seeks them out in their hiding place. In Genesis 3:10 to 11, it says, "But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And he said, 'Well, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I have commanded you not to eat from?'" See, what happens is Adam comes to the point where he admitted his fear. God helped him to face his fear, and he did so by asking him a series of questions. And these questions helped Adam face his sin and owned it as he tried to hide from God. From the very first human beings, we have this natural inclination to hide in shame and fear in the darkness. But I want to tell you something today. God never intends for his people to remain in hiding and in shame. He provided a way forward once the sin in our life is out in the open. He provided a way forward for people then through sacrifice, but he has provided a way forward, a sacrifice once and for all on the cross when he sent his son to cover the sins of all humanity in their hiding and in their shame and in their nakedness before God. And I don't know who needs to hear this morning, but we were not designed to walk around in darkness. We weren't created to live in shame. We were created to live in the freedom that Christ offered, that has been bought for us once and for all upon that cross. So if you are living in the shame of what you've done, of who you are, of who other people say that you are, it's time to leave it behind, to step out of the darkness and step into the light and the freedom that Christ offers. The price has been paid for us once and for all. And all it takes is for us to say yes and to repent and to accept what Christ has done, to leave the darkness behind. See, Joseph of Arimathea, the secret disciple, despite the risk to his reputation, the risk to his livelihood, he steps out of the shadows. After he witnessed what Jesus went through on that night, the betrayal, beating, the unfair trial, the death by crucifixion, he stepped out into the light of public association with Jesus. We see his courage as he overcomes his fear and his loyal devotion to Jesus surface in a new light. John 19:38 tells us that later Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took away the body. See, it took guts that day to overcome his fear and make such a request of Pilate. Because coming and stepping out into the light, showing that he cared for Jesus, this man that had been crucified, potentially held so much risk for Joseph. Not only could he be demoted from his position, not only could he lost his influence, his prominence in society, but there was a very real potential that him asking for Jesus' body could have got him killed by association. And still, Joseph goes to Pilate and asks for Jesus' body. Pilate grants him permission, so Joseph retrieves the body, and he has to move quite quickly to ensure that the body gets entombed before sunset, before the beginning of the next day of rest, the Sabbath. Deuteronomy 21:33 forbid that a dead body of a victim of crucifixion remain on the cross after sundown. So if Jesus was dead by about 3 p.m. and the sun usually set in Jerusalem around 6, Joseph had a mere few hours to get Jesus down from the cross, to prepare him in the tomb, and then to retreat to his own home for Sabbath rest. It was a big task in a small amount of time, but we see that Joseph doesn't act alone. He's joined then by a friend, perhaps a fellow member of the Sanhedrin. John 19:39 tells us that Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes. I always find it interesting that Nicodemus and Joseph were followers of Jesus that hid in the darkness and secrecy until that day on the cross. It's the cross that caused them to step out of the darkness and into the light. Yet we see Jesus' disciples who had walked intimately with him during his public ministry, and they're the ones that shy away into the darkness, that run. They'd missed the point. They'd forgotten once again who Jesus truly was. But Joseph and his friend and his fellow council member Nicodemus, they were here to help in the final preparations. The passage from John 19 goes on to tell us that they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So, because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. They prepared Jesus' body with a number of spices, with myrrh, with aloes, that were sufficient for a king. See, Joseph and Nicodemus, they truly saw who Jesus was. They knew that he was king. This final anointing and preparation by Joseph and Nicodemus, it was a hefty sum of money. It was a costly gift, but a gift that was worthy of honour. See, as if Jesus' body hadn't been claimed by Joseph, it's fairly likely that he just would have been flung into a pit like the other victims. But with courage in this moment, Joseph intervenes. Joseph of Arimathea stepped up courageously and he honoured Jesus in his death. The secret disciple became one who stepped out of the dark shadows of secrecy and into the light of being associated as a true follower of Jesus. And perhaps that's the challenge for many of us today. As we remember this day, as we remember the price that has been paid for the salvation of the world, as we remember that we are deeply loved, bought with blood, free from shame and darkness, may we too move from the shadows of secrecy in our devotion to Jesus. And may we move into the light so that others can see and know that Jesus is our Lord. It's time to leave the darkness behind and to walk with the light of the world.